Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart.
Day here in New York City, and to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment that finally allowed women voting rights, a trio of women statues was unveiled at New York City's Central Park on August 26, 2020. Well, up until this day, there were no statues of real women, just a few of those like imagined kind. So sculptor Meredith Bergman, who created this trio of historic figures, Sojourner Truth, Katie Stanton, and Susan B. Anthony, posed at a table in conversation. So here we have Meredith on the line, and we'll talk about her as a sculptor. Hello, Meredith.
Hello, Merle. Hi. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
I watched the entire thing on the internet. The whole celebration.
Oh, we saw the parts that weren't live just this morning. It's quite a wonderful program, and it was a
really
wonderful day.
You know, it's funny because I seem to remember like some of the people that were doing voiceovers. One of them was Jane Alexander.
Yes, the actresses are giving voice to each of the three women in English and in Spanish. So we have Meryl Streep as Stanton, Jane Alexander as Anthony, and Viola Davis as Truth, Sojourner Truth. And
then
Zoe Saldana and Rita Moreno and, oh, I forgot the third name, in Spanish. And they're wonderful. They're really wonderful.
I it's interesting. It had occurred to me in terms of Jane Alexander. She was perfect to do that.
Yes.
I have been watching. I mean, I watch reruns. I stay up late at night watching Dr. Quinn Medicine Women.
Uh-huh.
And that was this whole thing.
She was on TV when
women's
I was
right.
a child. On Channel 13,
yes.
Yeah, and with James Earl Jones in the movie The Great White Hope, and she's just been a brilliant actress for my whole life.
Oh yeah, but anyway, what I would love to do, because I would love to talk to you about the whole thing, this whole thing about sculpturing. And sculpturing bronze,
yeah.
And what was this like? What was this whole process? I can't imagine. I'm in my head, like I think of like somebody doing something in clay, you know. But
Well, I work in a very traditional way. It's a process that has been around for many centuries, and it's long, and as it goes on, it involves more and more people. It's very labor intensive. But at the beginning, there's just me, and I create a small model, usually dollhouse scale, 1 inch equals 1 foot, and that's a maquette. That's the French word for a little sculpture model, and that's what's been on display in Albany and at the New York Historical Society. And then that maquette is shown to the various committees that approve or disapprove the sculpture, and that's where all the changes got made. And then I start sculpting the monument at a smaller scale, like one half or one third height. So in the park, Susan B. Anthony is 9 feet tall, but in my studio, I still have the one third height model where she's 3 feet tall. And that's where I work out a lot of the issues of the composition, the gestures, the space in among the women and between them, because it's very hard to make changes when you're working at 9 feet high. You have to move too much clay. So you work it all out, get approval for that, and then you enlarge it at the full scale in clay. And I use digital enlarging for a kind of underlying shape of each woman, and then added clay on top of that and did all the modeling of the facial features and stuff in that. Then, when that is all finished and that has been approved, you have molds made, and the molds are then shipped to the bronze foundry where they paint wax into the molds up to the thickness the final bronze will be, because statues are hollow, but the metal is very strong. It's, you know, 3/8 or something inch thick. And then they cast that wax in a fireproof mold by the lost wax process, which melts out the wax and the bronze flows into the mold where the wax was. And you get each section of each statue, hands, heads, you know, part of the skirt. And then all that is welded together, and I supervise that, and made as seamless as possible. And then finally, a chemical patina is applied with torches and brushes with acids and pigments, and that colors the bronze so that you don't see any of that welding or anything. And then it's hot wax like a car, and then it is ready to go. But that takes years and months and years to do.
So how long did it take this one? Was it 7 months, I believe?
No, I worked on it for 2.5 years, and that's
fast. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words,
the,
you worked
foundry,
on it. Yeah.
The foundry takes 6 months, just the casting of
the
bronze.
Oh, just the foundry part was the 6 month thing.
Yeah.
Meaning, in other words, the part. So, in other words, what you're basically doing in terms of the sculpturing is you're beginning to do the sculpture in clay.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like you're starting with bronze and doing something.
Oh, no, no. That would be too difficult to capture all this detail. And
that's what I was trying to figure out.
You can weld, you know, like big steel sculptures, big abstract steel sculptures are done directly in metal. But they're abstract.
Right.
They're swoops and planes and, you know, very few people try to sculpt a human face directly in metal. It's just too hard.
What were you working from? I mean, did you had photos to start with?
Had a lot of photos, paintings, engravings, but in their day there wasn't any casual photography. So all the photographs are kind of stiffly posed. They're always messaging, you know, they knew these were public portraits that were going to go out there in the world. So what they wore, how they posed was very important. But you'd never see a picture of them sitting around at a table having a discussion because photography couldn't do that yet. So the artist has to take a little bit from each photo and compile an image, make up a composition.
Oh, okay. So in other words, let's go back. So you're beginning with clay at a smaller scale.
That's right.
That's how you're doing this. And then it gets to be larger scale. So in other words, what you're needing these other people for is when you're dealing with the getting to the part where it's in the foundry and you're now dealing with the bronze. So are you, I saw some photos. So in other words, like you take pieces of it, like you do the heads first or things like that?
That's right. It comes apart. I actually had two part-time assistants who were wonderful and younger. And we were up and down ladders all day, taking the heads down, working on them, putting them back. And I would direct them. But they each had very wonderful skills that I put to use. One of them did the fringes on Sojourner Truth's shawl. One of them did the brooch that Susan B. Anthony is wearing. You know, so I delegated everything that I could after I had created the one-third height model and determined the poses and the relationships and the overall composition. But when you get up to something that size, you know, it can take days just to do the folds in the skirt. So you have to have people helping you if there's a deadline the way there was on this.
Well, I had the opportunity of going, I guess it was the Foundry. Actually, I don't know if you knew that New York City was supposed to have a statue that was coming from Portugal. Did you hear about that?
Oh, the big statue for Queens?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And that, yeah, well, that got canceled after they built it.
No, I've seen pictures of it. It was very impressive. And that was, I think that was the same foundry. It's up in Rock Tavern, New York, Talix Foundry.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was because I heard it, like, talked about on the internet as I was watching this. You were talking about specific details that people should notice. And I wanted to go back to that because, like, when people go to see it, this way they could notice it. I don't remember all of them. I seem to remember something about Sojourner's finger. I seem to remember something about, I remember brooches, a pocketbook. And then there seemed to be books and papers.
Well, I can tell you. In ancient times, statues, well, certainly on cathedrals where there are multiple statues, each statue holds something that identifies them, what we call an attribute that tells you who they are, and people would recognize them. So these women each have something that is their attribute. So Susan B. Anthony, who's standing, she's sort of just arrived to the conversation, has this big alligator traveling bag that she was quite famous for. And it's stuffed and overflowing with pamphlets and papers. And I made them into leaflets for a free lecture by Sojourner Truth and a petition to the New York State Legislature and a invitation to a women's rights conference, things like that are popping out of her handbag. And Sojourner Truth has knitting on her lap, which she displayed in the photograph she posed for herself, and which she was very proud of because it was kind of symbolic of her freedom and her stature as a woman of skill, a middle-class lady, you know, no longer enslaved. And under Stanton's chair are three books by the great foremothers of the feminist movement. Mary Wollstonecraft from the 18th century, Sarah Grimke, and Margaret Fuller from Boston, who wrote Woman in the 19th Century. These were very fun kind of founding texts for Stanton and for feminists in the 1970s. Knowing that this struggle for women's rights had deep, deep roots. Sojourner Truth's index finger was partly amputated while she was a slave in some kind of agricultural accident. It's not clear. And she showed that she let it show in various photographs. But it was, she didn't really make a point of it. But at one lecture that Anthony was giving, she talked about Frederick Douglass having scars on his back from slavery and She said that the finger had, that Sojourner Truth's finger had been cut off by her master, and made a kind of political point of it, because she was giving an anti-slavery lecture. So it's part of the story of how Sojourner Truth also used her body and showed herself and made herself a public figure.
So with the, let's say with the books, we could see the titles of the books.
Yes, yeah, everything is very carefully lettered, because this, the style of the sculpture is a 19th century style, so that it will harmonize with the other sculptures in the park, but also so it will look kind of like the monument these women should have had long ago. So the lettering is clear and the details are clear.
So did you choose this, that you wanted to have these particular three books and with the titles on it to put in there? I mean, did everything get voted on in order for you to do everything you did, or did you take liberties of how you pictured it all and did this all yourself?
No, this kind of sculpture is under heavy scrutiny. So every time I wanted to take a liberty, I had to find a source for it. And luckily I could find a historian who said, oh, this thing is very important, you have to include this, or a historian who would say, no, that doesn't matter, or, you know, and that way I could win the artistic battles I wanted to win.
Okay. So now, in terms of going to the park, I mean, this is not like, can anybody just walk up to the statue and look it over? I mean, this
sure,
is not.
As
long as you're wearing a mask, of course, you know.
Yes.
But I'm just saying.
Part of the park has those arching elm trees, and the grass on either side has a black metal fence to protect the grass and the trees. They don't want people walking around under the trees. So you walk down this very broad, straight mall. I think it's the only straight path in Central Park. And there are pairs of statues on each side. And then there was one poet from the 19th century and no matching statue, but now there is. That's where our monument is. And it's about halfway along that mall between the statue of Shakespeare at one end and the Bethesda Terrace with the Angel of the Waters fountain and the lake at the other end.
Well, that's great. So it's quite visible then.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Some people, when we were there on Wednesday, didn't know that it was coming, and they were kind of surprised and said, oh, is this new? But it looks new, and I like that. And it's about 5 feet back from the fence, so you can see it very clearly, and you can see it from the side because there's a side path going westward across the mall.
So when you say, so in other words, oh, so there is a, so in other words, there's a fence there, so you can't actually go directly up to
you
the statue.
No, you're not supposed to climb over the fence and go touch it. No, you're not. So one of the challenges was to make everything visible to people on the walkway, on the mall, and to make sure that it was visible in deep shade, because there's a big elm tree arching over it, and to really design it for that location.
Oh, okay. So in other words, even by standing behind the fence, catch the details then.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the fence is 3 feet high. It's not going to keep anybody out, but it's meant to graciously suggest that you stay on the path.
Right, that is right.
It runs all along. It's all up and down the Central Park Mall. It's part of the architecture.
Okay. Did they place anything there, like a, I don't know, brochure or something?
There is a sign. There's a big sign that will be up for a year that explains who the group Monumental Women are and how they worked for 6 years to get this site and raised all the money mostly privately. Very little city money went into it. And there's something about me on the sign. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. And if you go to the website of Monumental Women, which is www.monumentalwomen.org, you'll find a lot of information and links to the recording of the ceremony where Hillary Clinton spoke and Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer spoke, and a lot of wonderful things were said, and there's singing, and you know, it was a great occasion.
So, in other words, the link, you'll be able to hear it, but not see the.
It's video.
Oh, you can
it's
see
video.
The video.
You'll be able to hear it and see. Oh, yeah, and they've got the purple cloth being pulled off.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. One
caveat on the site as it is now. There's, I think, 55 minutes of waiting time on that recording. So if you go to it and it looks like nothing is happening except a kind of white screen with a child's drawing of a monument on it, just zoom ahead to like 55 minutes and the thing will start.
Oh, okay.
I think they're going to fix that. But anyway, it's there.
Okay.
And they're
okay,
on Facebook.
Cool.
And, you know, Monumental Women. And they want to challenge other municipalities and help them to erect more statues. They're going to create a women's history trail all around New York City. And they're doing all kinds of educational outreach, and they want to be the spark that fuels a lot of fires, good fires around.
Yes.
Under people to put up more monuments to women and it just increase awareness of women's achievements. I mean, the fact that there were no statues of women in Central Park is just so sad. It's as if women didn't do anything worthy of having a statue put up. And that's ridiculous.
Well, that's what, you know, they made it, right, set it up to be, you know.
Yes.
That's,
yep.
You know.
But things are different now.
Yeah, and they better get better on that as well. Now, are you, is it, less common to have women sculptors, by the way?
Not really. Not anymore, I think. And in fact, even 100 years ago, there were a lot of women assistants, but they rarely were able to get the political backing, the backing from men, basically, to become prominent sculptors themselves, although there were quite a number. And if you go to the Metropolitan Museum in the American wing, in the sculpture court, you'll see big marble statues by women from 100 years ago. They were around. They've been around. And they certainly are around now.
Well, that's good to know. What other sculptures have you done that, like, in other words, we go someplace, we could see it.
Sure. Well, if you go to Boston, there is something very much like the Central Park Mall. It's called the Commonwealth Avenue Mall. It's a big, wide strip of grass. It's a park running up and down Commonwealth Avenue from the Boston Common westward through Back Bay. And it's got a statue of a man on every block. And in 2003... we unveiled the Boston Women's Memorial, which I worked on for 5 years, and that's three women from Massachusetts history. And it's quite wonderful. I'm happy that it's so well-loved. And that's completely accessible. You can sit with those statues. You can touch them. People leave flowers. They put sweaters on them. They stick their I Voted stickers on them. And it's really become very well-loved. But I have sculptures in New York, and I'm actually hoping to unveil one in Queens. I'm not sure it's Queens. It's Roosevelt Island. Does that count as Queens, or is that part of Manhattan?
You know, I've never figured out whether they've decided it's Queens or Manhattan.
My studio was in Long Island City for 12 years, so I always think of Roosevelt Island, which is right near there.
Oh, where in Long Island City were you?
Well, I was in a half-basement, big studio on 47th Road, in a building owned by an artist friend for many years. And then we moved to Connecticut and found a house with a big, kind of a sunroom built out back, but big, with a skylight and windows on three sides. So that's my studio now. Much smaller, but much better lit. So I'm happy.
I think Roosevelt Island might be good. That's funny because
anyway,
when it was the original name, the original name was, I thought it was a Manhattan property. I think it is.
Anyway, I have a monument going up there, hopefully this fall, called the FDR Hope Memorial. And that was a very grassroots community project by the Roosevelt Island Disabled Association as a response to Four Freedoms Park. And it was supposed to be unveiled 8 years ago, but we've been held up over and over again by city bureaucracy, fundraising. And then we broke ground this spring, finally, but then things got held up partly because of COVID-19 and partly because of more bureaucratic snaggles. But the bronzes are cast and the stone is delivered, and hopefully that will be unveiled. And that monument is all about ability and disability, which is really what Roosevelt Island has been about, with two big hospitals for the chronically ill where they did all this polio research. And there were many, many people on the island who lived in those hospitals until the 1970s, when there were the first apartments built for people in wheelchairs before the ADA. And the whole island was graded for wheelchairs so people could mainstream. They could get around, become part of the community, live in the community. And some of those people are on my committee there. And it's just a wonderful project. I have a son who's now 24 years old who has fairly severe autism, although he's very bright and he's in college. He needs a lot of care and thinks a lot about how he will gain independence and be able to move into the larger world. So the whole family has been thinking about this issue of mainstreaming for a very long time. And it's a fascinating history, the history of polio and its eradication and the Salk vaccine and Roosevelt, a very complicated, very heroic person who caught polio at the age of 39, probably from the Boy Scouts visiting a camp where some child was carrying it. You know, children are able to carry a lot of viruses without necessarily displaying any symptoms, as we know now. Anyway, and then, but children suffered the most from polio, and we're just glad that it's been eradicated in so many countries so far.
So I hope
to see unveiled. And then I have a sculpture up in St. John the Divine, the cathedral on the Upper West Side,
which is a
memorial to September 11th.
Okay. Is it inside the cathedral?
It's inside.
Is it in one of those,
chapels?
Yeah.
Kind of. It's on the right-hand side as you enter the cathedral. If you go all the way to the back, you'll go up a couple of stairs, and you'll start going around that half circle in the back where the chapels are. But the very first thing you'll come to is a kind of a space that opens out on the right, and there's the figure and the fragments from the World Trade Towers are in the pedestal, like a reliquary. It seems to be a very moving sculpture that speaks to a lot of people, that we have a guest book next to it, and I think they've gone through 30 copies of, 30 new guest books. They keep them in the library that people just fill with comments about world peace and the city and themselves and God.
Yeah. Well, I know that we've gone there for, what do you call it? It's not that Christmas. It's the.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They do wonderful events there all year round of all different kinds. And they're great supporters of the arts and poetry. I've been involved with their poetry events also. It's a lovely place.
So you haven't actually done anything in Queens proper yet?
No, I have another piece at the Brooklyn Historical Society. I have a piece uptown in a library in Harlem, but not in Queens. No,
I've
lost a few competitions for Pieces and Queens, but I haven't won one.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll make a few phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to, you know, do things like that. I'm very stubborn about something I want to get, and I've gotten some odd things that most people couldn't get. But anyhow.
Good for you.
All right, so these are some of the things that are coming up for you too. So one of the things that I'm hoping in terms of the one in Central Park is that the movie studios will make use of it, not necessarily by, you know, going up to it, but featuring it or commenting about it. Huh?
I think they probably will. It's something new in Central Park. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe if they do a remake of, what is that one? The one where she meets the guy and with the... never mind.
I don't know. There are a lot of romantic meetings in Central Park in the movies, though.
Emailing each other and they don't realize it's the other one.
Oh, yes.
Tom Hanks,
I don't remember the title. Yep.
Yeah, and so they meet in Central Park, and so I'm thinking, if they do a remake of that, maybe they'll meet at that statue.
That would be nice.
You know, they should also kind of do something where people, you know, go a Facebook thing on Facebook and they go and take a picture, a selfie.
Yes, there's a lot of that already. Oh, yes. Yep. A lot of traffic on Facebook so far. So that's nice.
Well, yeah, that's good to know. It's been fascinating because I couldn't figure out like exactly how this entire thing was done because you're not sculpturing the bronze itself.
Right. Well, if you go to the Monumental Women website and look at some of those videos, they put together a whole video called The Making of the Statue that has photographs of me and other people working on it, including at the foundry. And you'll see a lot more of, I think they show them pouring the bronze. You'll see a lot of the process. It's not carefully labeled, but you can kind of figure out what's going on.
I think I got them sent to me.
Okay, good.
I got them sent to me. when I was not, I don't know if you read the article. Did you see the article I wrote?
Yes, thank you. I did.
I kept on going, I can't end it yet. You know, look at that. We're past 2,000 words.
What can I do? Well, it's a big subject. It's a big subject whose time has come. And it deserves a lot more statues.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had already gone, I think, a couple of times up to Seneca Falls and to Rochester, so I was familiar with, all these, the historic women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to see these three, I said, they're perfect. Perfect choice to, you know. And, maybe like a little fountain behind it? No, okay.
Just elm trees.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a see if anybody would give me a statement about pardoning Susan B. Anthony.
Oh, don't get me started.
What? let me tell you what my reaction is, and just tell me if it's yours. I think it's a, not even a letdown. I think this is a zinger. I think this is a, man, you're stupid, you don't get it, kind of thing. I mean, I don't think she would have wanted to be pardoned. That was the
whole point. Of course not.
No,
she got arrested on purpose, and she wanted the case to go to the Supreme Court. She didn't even want, she wanted to go to jail, and I think her lawyer paid the bail, and she was furious with him because she wanted to make a political statement. So, and she was convicted and never paid her fine, and nobody came after her, but, you know, this was more political theater. But she was very serious about getting arrested. Sojourner Truth also went and tried to vote and was turned away and may even have gotten arrested, I think, the same year. So there were quite a few women doing this. And Anthony, of course, is the one we all remember. And
right.
None of them would have wanted to be pardoned.
Okay. I put something on my face page about it.
It's just silly. It's silly.
It's right. You thought you were doing something correct. You don't get it, do you? Okay. Anyhow, well, I'm just glad that we have the three statues, and we need more.
Wonderful.
More, you know,
well, thank
more
you.
Women.
Thank you for talking
yes.
to me. I unfortunately have to go.
Sure.
Some family stuff. But I thank
okay.
you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this wonderful project. And I hope everybody will go see it and agitate for more recognition for women from the past and for women right now, and take up their mission to vote.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Have
Bye-bye.
A great day. Bye.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Yes. So if you go to the, you go to the website, and this is so great to see this. So I'm going to be writing an article about this whole thing about how the whole thing, how it was created. I'm also going to also follow up. I want to get an interview with the person who's the president or CEO of the women's monuments. So, I'll get what she told you, to the website to go to, and I'm going to go check it out. And so in the meantime, all right, so have a absolutely wonderful day. I'm going to end the show right now, and I'm looking for my thing that says music intro. Oh, the rubber chickens are sleeping. That's, what can I tell you? So is my cat. Yeah, I'm surprised he's not here screaming at me because he gets... Okay. So have a great day.